Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Team all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show, brought to you by Dr. Pepper and Hooters. Your home to watch all the college game day action with an ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
It's the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday, and it's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, which means it's the Wednesday before the Wednesday before Championship Saturday. And then everything's decided. We did get updated rankings from the playoff committee, and this is the last couple before everything's determined. They just give you the seeds. The last couple can get your attention a little bit because you see something that you know can't hold. Oh, no, hang on. They've got this team here, and you're like, no, it can't hold. For example, LSU at 5, I really don't think that holds because LSU will get a 13th game and probably, almost certainly, there are upsets every Saturday. Almost certainly, they're just not going to beat Georgia. And so you look at that, but that's just a win-loss sort of thing, and that's an opinion on what could happen. If you look at Ohio State and Michigan at 2 and 3, you're like, well, they have to play each other this Saturday. So we know that some of this stuff can't hold, but where it gets interesting is when you're including teams that won't even get the additional data point. And so LSU is a team that will and probably get saddled with a loss. And so they're sitting at 5 right now. Well, they're ahead of USC that only has one loss. Right now, LSU to the committee, better choice. With a conference championship thrown into the mix and one loss. A two-loss LSU, all things being equal, no conference title thrown, because LSU, I'd far less likely to add that to the resume than Southern Cal. They're saying two-loss LSU, a better team, because that's their goal, find the four best teams. Two-loss LSU is a better team than one-loss Southern Cal. That's what the committee is saying. Two-loss LSU is better than one-loss Clemson. That's not me. That's the committee. So right now, LSU, they're at 5. Yeah, whoo, wait a minute. We just need to move up one spot. That's not how it works. If we venture back to the end of the 2017 season, Auburn beat number one Georgia and then two Saturdays later beat number one Alabama. Going into championship Saturday, Auburn sat at number 2. And you're thinking, well, they could lose and play. No, they can't lose. They already, nah. If they lose then, and it happened. And so, no. There are times, even like I said, so that last vote, you can look at it, and even that year, I was like, yeah, that ain't gonna, that's, now that was, again, prediction on a game. I think they're going to lose. But you see it all the time where there's a rank, and you're like, well, you're either so close to 1 or you're so close to 4, and we just need this one thing to happen. No, you may need a lot to happen. Because even if we don't saddle you with a loss, if we don't add a conference championship to your resume, just not going to happen, man. So if you see if you saw the rankings released last night, then it is at the top Georgia, Ohio State, and I think that's what it's going to be at on National Championship Day as well in L.A. Then Michigan and TCU and LSU after that. And then USC, Alabama's ahead of Clemson. There is a path for Clemson to get a playoff seed. There isn't for Alabama. Well, why would you have them? Because the path includes adding a conference title to Clemson's resume. And you can't do that to Alabama. Once you add a conference title? Oh, okay. Yeah, now I'll move you ahead of Alabama because you have a conference championship added. Don't have one of those right now. Been telling you, if you want to go to the semifinal game in Atlanta, end of December, get to a Hooters, courtesy of Dr. Pepper and Hooters, pair of tickets, hotel stay, 100% off. It's free. Giving it away to somebody. Get yourself into a Hooters. Enter off Hooters TV with your phone. If you hashtag out Hootersville with a Dr. Pepper in your hand, then you're going to get another entrant from Dr. Pepper and Hooters. Get this going because we will draw a winner ahead of that game as well. We've already drawn the winner for the conference championship game, so now we've switched over to the semifinal. Great stuff there from Dr. Pepper and Hooters, so I am glad they are involved. Hour one was tremendous. I had Will Kane on, Locked On Vols podcast. Will does a great job. Been knowing him for a while. VolQuest, Eric Kane from VolQuest.com and Locked On Vols. And so I appreciate Eric Kane coming on. Matt Moscona, today's Truist reporter. Matt Moscona from After Further Reviews, 3 to 6 every afternoon, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, throughout the state on TV, et cetera. So great stuff from Matt. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Pete Futak, college football news, and we will talk about the scenarios now that and I want to talk about beyond the playoff seeds because I think I know how that's going to go pretty close. There's like I got a variable. I think I'm down to two teams for the four seed. But we'll talk with Pete Futak from College Football News and then good friend of mine from WCNN in Atlanta, Steve West, who we've had in studio at various times. College football, I'll call him college football colleague of mine, and been covering the sport for 25 years as well in Atlanta and all through the Southeast. So we're going to have Steve West in studio for the final couple of segments as we start in the SEC and probably Rocky Top and bounce out from there. Steve is a Tennessee grad, so we'll want to talk a little bit about that. But again, the SEC, ACC, all of college football, certainly, that is what is ahead. Now, speaking of Tennessee, I had said earlier in the program that you know there are scenarios you can walk through for a lot of teams, how they still get to the college football playoffs. I want to give one football website credit for delivering exactly what it promises to. If you Google today, right now, I did it. Somebody alerted me to this. Hey, have you seen this? And there's a little link. And I was like, well, let me check it out. If you Google Tennessee still make the college football playoffs, you get a slew of reasonable appearing options. Like if you, not Tennessee will make, Tennessee still makes the college football playoffs. When I say you get a slew of reasonable appearing options, when you hit type in Google, enter, boom. You see that first page that comes up. If you just start looking at some of the results, what I saw when I Googled my computer was, this is a quote, Tennessee will miss college football playoff after loss to Gamecocks. That was USA Today. See, that's a reasonable appearing option as a result to Tennessee still make the college football playoffs. USA Today says, headline, Tennessee will miss the college football playoffs after loss to Gamecocks. And somewhere in there, it addressed what are the possibilities, I guess. But the headline, Tennessee will miss. If you Google that today, you will see a headline, Assessing Tennessee's Postseason Outlook with College Football Playoff Off the Table. That's courtesy of 247. There are hundreds of others just like that. Then there's A to Z Sports. And this is not supposed to, I am not trying to hack A and Z Sports or do a hit job or anything. I'm just telling you, if you Google your computer, this is what you will find. A lot of very reasonable responses from 247, CBS, USA Today, you name it. They're out there, literally hundreds. Then there's this from A to Z Sports. How Tennessee makes the college football playoff after the loss to South Carolina. Now, there is the disclaimer that this isn't likely and so many things would have to happen and every team. So they give you the, and then they jump right into it and tell you how it absolutely can happen. And when I say that this is not, I'm not trying to pick on any sort of website because I've never heard of A to Z Sports. I assume they've never heard of me. There's a lot of media out there. There's a lot in the digital space. So this is not, I'm just telling you my awareness. I don't know them. So they believe it or not, a miracle is possible. There's still a scenario where the Vols can make the playoff. All right. Exploring fanciful scenarios, that's fine. If you are a Chicago Cubs fan and you want to explore the scenario online and sign your name to it, how the Cubs can acquire Shohei Ohtani. Okay, fine. It doesn't cost anything except bandwidth, so put it out there if you want. But it's how seriously you take it, and it's your knowledge of how it actually could happen. If you tell me that, oh, I believe it's going to happen and it's realistic and this is how he could wind up in the Cubs, I'm like, you're a little too positive, but okay, we keep going. How? If you tell me that the Cubs will trade a bunch of draft picks to the Angels for Shohei Ohtani, I'm like, you don't really understand that process. So see, you can explore anything you want, but how seriously you take it and then what you tell me the path to that outcome is, that's where I start to evaluate. And by my reasoning, A2ZSports.com takes this far more seriously than they should in a scenario that they labeled a miracle. They still take it far more seriously. And here's the other thing, and this is where it really has zero awareness or understanding of the process that the College Football Playoff Committee would go to. Talks, and the reason I bring that up is specifically talking in the path, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are six additional steps after Tennessee, and this is what I'm saying. The first step is Tennessee beats Vanderbilt and by at least 40. That doesn't affect the committee. The numerical cutoff is 24. And it's not going to be an opinion in the room that stumps for Tennessee. It's going to have to be the numerical data that gets Tennessee into the – I'm saying like as the 1% chance. So they have to beat Vanderbilt by at least 40. When I saw that in this article, I was like, he doesn't understand how this works. And then as it kept going, I got less interested in the specifics of this article. But I said give One Football website credit for delivering exactly what it promises. If you go on to A2ZSports.com, it says A2ZSports.com, on-demand sports network covering teams across the country, et cetera, provides fans with an alternative way to view their favorite team and players. That's true. Our goal is to provide a source of exclusive content, which you can't find anywhere else. Check that box, because I do not think anyone else anywhere is discussing this Tennessee scenario as seriously as this did, while also being pretty far off base about how you're going to make an impression with the committee. So that is just my response to it. And again, there are others that explore that path, but the tone of it, and that's a big part of it, is you took this in something you labeled a miracle. Take it a little too seriously. So there are programs like Clemson, you can read about that, and that's a thing. Southern Cal, that's a thing. LSU's kind of a thing. Tennessee making the playoffs, as USA Today and 247 and almost everyone else has declared, that's not a thing.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show, and I popped out of the womb yelling, run the ball and play defense. That's how you win. And that was true for, like, I don't know, the first few decades I was alive, and then it wasn't true anymore. Well, Kirby Smart has decided it's going to be true somehow. Last year's defense broke the axis. If you look at defensive efficiency axis, you're supposed to have, like, one dot going left and right, one going, you know, up and down. One of Georgia's plot points on the defensive efficiency was off the side of the chart. How can that happen? It's statistics. You can't go. Yeah, they did. If you want to ask how that happens, if you look at the football efficiency index for this week, and there's a lot of numbers and you can make a lot of stuff how you want it. Georgia's defensive efficiency index is projected to hold Georgia Tech to -2.5 points this weekend. So when you break math, that's a heck of a comment. I want to welcome on right now a guy who he's run one of the best websites in the college football digital space for a few decades himself. From collegefootballnews.com, is Pete Futak. Pete, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing just fine. -2 points, holding it to that, supposed to be pretty good, right?
It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Is this the same thing that said, like, the ESPN playoff predictor that has both Ohio State at, like, a 99% chance of getting in and Michigan at, like, 88% chance of getting in, which kind of can't happen?
Yeah, see, that's what I said. You can always make numbers create a headline, but here's the thing. Like, the number you gave there, they didn't say Ohio State's 99 and Florida's 88. They said Michigan. So at least you're like, okay, well, I see where you're going, but you're off a little bit. Obviously,
yeah, you can't have both. I really am a stats guy. It's like all that, you know, the predictor, like the, oh, we have this team has like a 92% chance of winning, and then the other team comes back and scores, and all of a sudden that goes bye-bye. So.
Sure, so it's a number, and it's supposed to be an indicator. Obviously, Tech's not going to start with zero and wind up with -2, but it just shows you that Kirby, to the extent that he is winning not just games, he's winning conferences and national championship, singular at least at this point, really doing it a way that most others, they haven't abandoned, but you just don't try to do it that way anymore.
It also helps when you have a lot of five-star talent. And, you know, I remember, you know, the name drop, you know, Jimmy Johnson asking about Styles, and I was interviewing one time. He's like, if I've got the best players, I can run the wing T and I can beat you. Like, style works, but it also helps that he's got the guys. And years and years and years and years of number one or number two recruiting classes tend to help. But, man, if you've got those guys on defense where you replace all that talent that was gone from last year, and you still have this defense that when it steps up, it's a killer. He's doing something right. And, you know, that when we go through all the college football playoff stuff right now and all the scenarios, you know, I keep thinking that, you know, even as long as Georgia wins one of these last two games, it's in. I think it can even lose to LSU and still be in. I think it's still, you know, this team is just kind of accepted as it's the one, and then there's everyone else.
Ohio State can enter a game with a depth chart of a fourth string true freshman, a wide receiver, a linebacker, and another linebacker maybe, and they can still win. That's a team dripping with 4-star and 5-stars as well. Are they your opponent for Georgia potentially in the national championship? Because I looked about 3 weeks ago, I was like, this is happening, Georgia and Ohio State.
But they've been so shaky, you know, and they're so bad. And even Ohio State, you're right. They've got that's the difference here, where you've got this game against Michigan this week, where Blake Corum's iffy at best, and, you know, Mayan Williams and Trayvon Henderson are iffy at best. But Ohio State's third and fourth guys, like you kind of said, are just better than Michigan's second, third, and fourth guys. So they can kind of find ways to make that happen. Their offensive line is still good. But, look, you know, they've been good. Penn State, though, pushed them. You know, they had them in trouble late in the fourth, and, you know, Maryland was pretty good against them. And part of all this is that, you know, given the really, really, really great team since, you know, even the Notre Dame game that Ohio State's beaten, and they just haven't had that yet. So it's good. I just don't think it's quite at Georgia level.
Is Lane Kiffin going to be the Auburn coach? And if he's not, is it Hugh Freeze, James Franklin? Who gets that? Because Auburn is the one, I would say, it gets premier, prime, whatever, top-of-the-heap job available right now.
Why? You know this better than I would. Like, I don't get it. Like, if you're a coach and you're that good, other than getting paid a gajillion dollars, which appears that Auburn's going to want to do, why do you want to beat your head against that wall every year? I mean, once we get to an expanded college football playoff, it's a different story. So I think I figured out that old Gus Malzahn, had there been an expanded college football playoff, Auburn would have been indefinitely in 3 of his 8 years and maybe a 4th. So, I mean, that's a good marker. But it's not like Auburn, it's not like Alabama's going to go away. It's not like LSU's going to quit playing football, and it's getting a whole lot better. And we just talked about the Georgia thing, and, you know, even Oklahoma and Texas coming in, okay, they're, you know, I don't think they're going to dominate or anything, but that makes it harder. And so, like, basically, you got a fan base that, while they say, oh, well, we're realistic, and they expect national championships there because they've seen how a national championship team looks. They expect wins over Alabama there because they've seen how that looks. And none of that's a given. So if you're, you know, if you have an 8-4 year or a 9-3, you can be really awesome and go 9-3, and then you deal with all those headaches. I don't know why someone wouldn't, for example, think the Arizona State job's the better gig. They've got the resources. It's less pressure. You've got the entire Southern California recruiting base. Big media market for NIL money. You've got a program that's got everything there that says we are going to go for it now with NIL and all the opportunities there. Everything is there without that playing in the SEC West or whatever the SEC is going to be configured going forward.
The Lincoln Riley choice, as it were. Pete Futak. It is the end of the season, man, and just a couple more weeks to go. So good for you and your family as well as we head to the holidays, brother. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
Pete Futak, College Football News. It would be a seriously different cat that took the Arizona State job over the Auburn job. And it would have the rest of college football looking at that coach going, all right, tell me again. It's different when you, quote, flee the Southeastern Conference for Southern Cal. It's different when USC is your landing spot versus I'm going to stay at Oklahoma. If you have the offer of Auburn versus Arizona State, yeah, there's no decision to be made there. And as far as, you know, the one of the detriments to the Auburn job being, well, you got to beat your head in and play, you know, Alabama. They're not going anywhere. Well, it's better to take them on at Auburn than Ole Miss. So for all those reasons.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Wednesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, ahead of Thanksgiving, so before you go over the river and through the woods and all that. Appreciate you coming here for a little combo. 9 states, 56 sticks. We will be giving you your college football conversation tomorrow as well. We'll be giving it to you on Friday. Heath Klein, good friend of mine from 107.5 The Game yonder in Columbia, South Carolina. He will be in studio for me on Friday. And then we've got Rivalry Weekend. Come back next week, and then Championship Saturday, and everything is set at that point. Want to welcome on right now, and I told you, Dan Matthews, Rolodex to the Stars, does a great job every single day lining up the guests today. No difference. Want to welcome from 6A to the Fan in Atlanta, WCNN. It is my good friend Steve West. Steve, welcome back. How are you doing, man? Been a minute.
I'm great, Chuck. Happy holidays to you, and happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas.
Appreciate all that. I said last year that, and we're going to start with Tennessee, and we already had a good friend of mine on earlier today, Eric Kane, talking about Tennessee football from Locked On Vols podcast. But I want to start with you because you are a Tennessee grad and fan, obviously. And last year I said that the Tennessee Vols fan base, they had the number one fan base experience in college football. Every exciting win along the way to, was it a 7-5 regular season last year in which they lost to Georgia and Bama, had another misstep or two, but it was moment after moment of huge moment. I think that's the South Carolina fan base this year, even with the disappointment that they've had of their own. I look at South Carolina, and this is a really imperfect team that's going to finish probably with a 7-5 record. And when you look at some of the moments that fan base has had in that stadium, I think it's been tremendous. And obviously it happened last Saturday night. Give your lowdown, first of all, about where Tennessee sits without Hendon Hooker, and then South Carolina as they face Clemson in the big in-state rivalry.
Well, let's start with Tennessee. The glass half full. And I've gotten to this point in my life by being glass half full guy. You have to be very encouraged where this program is in year two of Josh Heupel.
Year two.
We spent a week where we were number one in the college football world in the college football playoff poll. We were winning on social media, winning in the name, image, and likeness era, winning everything that you can win. And so that was a fantastic accomplishment and still is a fantastic accomplishment. That said, you go out and, you know, obviously you lose to Georgia. Some would say the offense was exposed. I said all week long that this is going to be the best defense this administration has faced. Going back to UCF, this was the best defense, and that was proven to be true. But still, you were in a position where if you won out, Ohio State or Michigan's going to lose. Unless LSU found a way to beat Georgia.
Your loss looks really
in
good.
In the SEC championship game, you had the best loss of all the one-loss teams. And you have one loss. So it was all there for Tennessee.
And you had a couple of monster wins.
Mm-hmm.
That at Baton Rouge thing, what that became. I mean, so you're right. You were staring at all of it. Egg.
Yeah.
Just an absolute egg.
So that's disappointing, obviously.
And the deflated nature of losing your quarterback there and Joe Milton stepping in, who's talented and has already played and he's experienced and he's locked in and all of that. There is a deflating nature to losing a guy like Hendon Hooker.
Apparently Joe Milton packs a punch. Maybe we'll get to that in a moment. But I still feel great about the future of this program, and they're going to get great players because of the way they play, and the future should be bright. Now, that said, okay, glass half empty, you were this close. And I started out with my first college football show in this market in 1998. And as you well remember, 1998 was a magical year for me because as a longtime Atlanta Falcons season ticket holder, the team goes 14-2, 16-2 if you count the two wins in the playoffs, and get to the Super Bowl for the first time ever. And Tennessee, of which I'm an alum, goes 13-0, wins the inaugural BCS National Championship game at Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe, Arizona, over Florida State. Peerless Price, T. Martin, and a host of volunteers. Great moment, first natty since 1951. So 1998 was a magical season for Tennessee and for the Falcons. For the Falcons, it would be 18 years before they got back to what turned out to be 28-3, and Tennessee has not been back since. Georgia just won a national championship for the first time in 41 years. So my point is, yeah, we were close, and yeah, the future looks bright. But, man, when you're that close, you can't take it for granted that you're ever going to get back there necessarily. I'm not saying Tennessee would have beaten Ohio State in a semifinal game. I'm not saying they would have beat Georgia in a rematch. What I am saying is this. It would have been nice to find out, and we're not going to be there right now.
As for South Carolina, where'd that come from? I mean, you look at Spence Rattler in the consistent season, and even, I don't want to say the defenders, but as the season went on, the explanation of, well, the receivers aren't helping him, and, well, it's the play call or it's the blocking, and all of that was true and it continued to be true. But he was part of the issue as well. It all worked on Saturday night, and that was an offense that had been having a horrible time, especially in conference. talk about where you think South Carolina is and going on the road and facing Clemson, and maybe to LSU's benefit, if they can upset in Atlanta, maybe picking off another contender and making Clemson a two-loss team.
I think that Shane Beamer has done a fantastic job over there. This is his second year, correct? Much like Josh Heupel. They are going to put back-to-back winning seasons together for the first time since Steve Spurrier walked away in 2015. As for Spencer Rattler, you saw on Saturday night why he was one of the highest recruited quarterback prospects of the last decade. But to your point, he had struggled more interceptions, yeah, nine than touchdown, yeah, passes coming into that game. But he showed all the talent that has been there all along, and everything clicked. Now, that said, and I don't want to take anything away from Coach Beamer, the South Carolina offense, the performance of Spencer Rattler. But, Chuck, that's the kind of performance that gets a defensive coordinator fired. And you remember well, I believe, third year of Dabo at Clemson, and West Virginia hung 70 on them, and Kevin Steele got the pink slip.
Yeah, peace.
I'm not calling for Tim Banks' ouster. I'm not calling for anyone to get fired. But you look at what happened with the way Tennessee played when Rattler was on the roll, and it was soft coverages. Let's keep everything in front of us. And it worked to an extent. The bend but don't break philosophy worked because you forced South Carolina into a lot of third and mediums and even some third and longs. But South Carolina converted 8 of 11 third downs and 2 of 2 on fourth down. That's 10 for 13 when it comes to extending drives. That's not a championship defense, Chuck.
South Carolina gets on a little bit of roll, a little bit of a dose of confidence going into the season-ending game with Clemson. Let's bounce over, talk a little bit of SEC West before we take a quick break. I've talked about it. Now, I don't want to use unfair, whatever. We're all big boys. But I'll say the either unfair or unfortunate or just the really tough nature of if you're a kid on the Ole Miss roster, you're still trying to have a 10-win season. And going into the Egg Bowl, which is already blood sport anyway, and Mississippi State's chance to say, yeah, everything you thought you had, no, we actually had a better season, all of that. You're an Ole Miss player, and you've done all the running and lifting and bleeding and sweating and all of that, and now a day, 2 days, 3 days before the Egg Bowl, you get all this to deal with your head coach. And then the same thing with Auburn to a lesser extent, because I don't know that you're expecting Coach Cadillac to actually get the job. But imagine if that were to be announced before the Iron Bowl, what's already going to be a real tough afternoon for Auburn, I believe. I don't know how they're going to score, okay? But just talk about the kids involved, because at Ole Miss and Auburn, that same sort of scenario involves before your rivalry game, whatever chance you currently have, it's getting tougher to overcome that.
I think this might be why programs blow out coaches earlier and earlier in the year to kind of get this out of the way. The kids today are not dumb. They're savvy. They have social media. You know, we used to read newspapers. They have access to so much more information than we ever, and they know going in,
sure,
this is part of the deal. Part of the remedy for that, though, is the liberalized transfer portal rules, where you can, correct me if I'm wrong, transfer once without waiting a year and go to the next program. And I think that's a huge improvement over the way things used to be when coach leaves and goes to a new program, and he told your mama and your daddy that he was going to take care of you for 4 or 5 years, and now he's out the door for greener pastures. Okay, well, now the transfer portal.
We don't run that offense anymore, son. I'm sorry, but I'm going to transfer. Well, guess what?
Yeah. Well, look at Lincoln Riley in Southern California. I think that's the perfect example. Okay, you don't have to stay here at Oklahoma. You don't have to do whatever they're going to do
in
Oklahoma.
If the coaching change came at the end of November, well, I'm going to transfer, okay, and you will be on the field in September 2 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
That's right. So you think long and hard about that. And maybe you stay in an offense that isn't necessarily suited for you because, hey, I'm on scholarship. I got 3 square meals a day. I got a training room. I got some place to go.
You may have less of a chance to win the big rivalry game. And like I said, Auburn is going to have a tough day anyway. This could affect Ole Miss. I mean, we've seen when teams come out flat. Like, I think Ole Miss was affected against Arkansas this past Saturday. Absolutely, I do.
I think Tennessee was affected by whatever the hell went on in the locker room during the week up there in Knoxville. Have you heard those rumors?
Is that Jeremy Banks?
Yeah, the rumor is that Jeremy Banks...
He's one tough dude, by the way.
...walked across the locker room and stepped on the power tee, which that's a no-no. You don't step on the power tee.
No, a lot of places have it, like, corded off and stuff, but you step around the logo. You don't
again,
know.
These are just rumors.
Sure.
So Hendon Hooker said, hey, you stepped on the tee, drop and give me 10, right? Somebody tells you to drop and give him 10, you're probably going to give him 25, right? Just to show, okay, all right.
Didn't mean to, brother.
Banks didn't do, again, rumor, didn't do the 10 push-ups. Things got heated. Joe Milton got in the middle. Banks got his jaw broken by Joe Milton. Those are the rumors that are going around right now. I don't know if they're true. I'm not saying it's gospel. That's what's going on here. And then Banks, who had started 5 of the previous 6 games, is not at the South Carolina
road trip. Not available.
Road trip, yeah.
Not available.
Not available.
And he was asked if he will be available for Vanderbilt. And that's the word out of Josh Heupel. Yesterday said, we don't know if he's available.
Yeah.
If you got a broken jaw, you ain't playing.
Okay, so now folks have extrapolated from that maybe once things went south at Williams-Brice, that maybe the defense wasn't maybe as committed as they should have been. Maybe there's an offense-defense thing going on here. And the other layer is to it, well, they were arguing over the power team. No, they were arguing over name, image, and likeness money. That just reared its ugly head.
And can I tell you what also goes under the banner of just wild rumors? Is you can find this as well. Go Google your computer for this. Theory that South Carolina over-sanded the field to harm Tennessee's deep threats much more than it would harm South Carolina because they have an underneath controlled passing game. So you can find all kinds of stuff on the internet. Most of it's not true. Some of it is.
Well,
some of it is, but most of it is not true. So like I said, Google your computer. You can find all kinds of stuff about that. But how hard you have to look to find certain rumors, sometimes that'll throw a breadcrumb to you as well. So you're right. There's all kinds of stuff out there. Find your source. Believe who you believe. We're going to take a quick break. Come back. Wrap up on this Wednesday next.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show. Through a Wednesday, and if you're looking for college football conversation tomorrow and Friday and everything, yeah, we got you covered, brother. And then we're back next week to preview championship Saturday. All the seeds come out, and we're rolling straight through bowl season. So, yeah, we're here for you. I want to welcome back into studio as we wrap up on this Wednesday, my good friend from WCNN AM 680 in Atlanta, Georgia, college football expert. Well, I'm labeling him as and have for a long time, Steve West. Steve, let's go outside the footprint of the SEC just a little bit and talk about possibilities elsewhere. I had mentioned Clemson and South Carolina from the Gamecocks perspective. Clemson beats South Carolina. You can pick a score. Clemson beats North Carolina. I'll let you pick a score, whatever. Clemson gets to 12-1. They're ACC conference champs. Their season turns out however it turns out. This ain't the same Clemson anymore. No matter what the record, the number, the achievements, whether they get the 4 seed or the 6 seed, tell me what you see with Clemson right now, because they're supposed to be in that club.
A defense that hasn't been as dominating as it was in their greatest days. Current improvement arc notwithstanding, inconsistency from the quarterback play. They're missing some of the running back talent that they've had there in recent seasons. And you played some teams that were on the upswing this year, like a Wake Forest, like an NC State. They had some close games and had some better competition from within their conference. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Are they more dominant or less dominant? I'd say they're less dominant right now. And, of course, it wasn't that long ago that they split a couple of games with Notre Dame when Notre Dame was playing as a full-fledged member of the ACC back during the pandemic season of 2020. So I still think they're an outstanding program on solid ground. Great coach, obviously. There's been some turnover in the staff. But they're not at the level that they were in their national championship winning and or contending seasons, and whether what they're able to do in the next two games is going to be good enough to get them into the college football playoff, I guess, is going to be determined largely by maybe what happens out in the Pac-12 with Southern California and their last two games against Notre Dame. And if Oregon is able to win their battle in the Civil War this Saturday, yep, against a good Oregon State team, I might add, and this game will be in Corvallis, not Eugene, then you would see an Oregon-USC matchup in the Pac-12 championship game.
There's a list of – and by the way, Steve, if you – anybody who hosts radio, you have this, like, running Word doc of these partial topics that you sort of get to and mean to come back to. I've been working on a Bo Nix thing for about a month. It's the list of winners and losers from his transfer to Oregon. And it's almost all winners. I think loser, if it's possible, Gus Malzahn's reputation of developing quarterbacks. Go back and find the last high school quarterback that entered Gus's program and stayed there through all of his eligibility. It'll be an interesting and very short list. And the idea, if you go look at the high school quarterbacks Gus brought in and how they either developed or didn't, and then you see Bo when he gets free from that and he explains. Talk about the winners, though, here. So Gus's reputation is a little bit more of a loser there, I believe. Bo Nix, this is one of the biggest surprises to me until the loss, second loss. I thought Bo Nix was a Heisman finalist.
I think Kenny Dillingham's a big winner here.
Yeah.
And his name, we were talking off the air about the Arizona State job. His name's been bandied about in that discussion. I think he's a huge winner. Remember, he didn't call plays for Bo Nix at Auburn. He was the quarterback, yep, coach, but he didn't call the plays. Now this is his first season, yep, of calling the plays for Bo Nix. And whether you think Bo Nix is an elite quarterback or not, he has certainly played at an elite level. And, oh, by the way, even with the five stars there waiting in the wings, Ty Thompson, et cetera, because of COVID, if Bo Nix decides to come back, he could play one more year for the Ducks. And I don't think that there would be a lot of folks out there in Oregon that would be unhappy about that.
So you mentioned one of the other winners was Kenny Dillingham, because he really is the play. Like, when you're calling plays for Mike Norvell or you're calling plays for Gus, it's kind of like, are you? You're calling plays for a defensive coordinator who now runs the team in Dan Lanning. We'll talk about Dan Lanning. Because I haven't heard nearly as much conversation about him coming back south. Now, it's only the Auburn job right now. But talk about Dan Lanning, what you believe his future may hold, because now you look at the success he's had against the backdrop of the portal and everything else. I'm really impressed with a first-time head coach.
I think that his future includes a healthy raise and probably an extension, because we talk all the time about Oregon and what a great job that is, and Phil Knight, and the Nike money, and the facilities, and being the big State U out there, and there's only other one State U that really matters, and that's Oregon State. I know Portland State plays FCS ball, but so that's it. You recruit California, you got Portland, Seattle, et cetera. You can go national as well. The kids all love the uniforms. They're all waiting to see what Oregon's, yep, going to wear this week. That's all good and fine. But why has that job turned into such a stepping stone job? Why, since Mike Bellotti, has that been Chip Kelly, Mike Helfrich, help me out here, Willie Taggart, the Mario Cristobal, and now Dan Lanning? If that's such a great job and all the money and Nike, et cetera, and the uniforms, and it's beautiful, and the facilities, why has that turned into a revolving door job? That should be a destination job. I think we will learn from the tenure of Dan Lanning and how that plays out, whether he makes it a destination job or whether it's just more of the same out there. But I look for him to stay put after this offseason.
Last thing for you. You are all about Pac-12 After Dark, Mountain West After Midnight.
Yes.
Just a quick flyover, 30 seconds. I've said USC could lose. I said – ahead of last weekend, I said USC can lose their next three games. And they almost lost. They were pressed by UCLA. Tell me about, just bottom line, what you think about the Trojans and their final couple matches.
Well, as we were saying, it's going to be Oregon if they take care of the Beavers in the Civil War. And then the Mountain West is going to come down to Boise State, which gutted out a tough win at War Memorial in Laramie, and Fresno State, which has just been running all over everybody.
So, Steve West, appreciate you as always. Love when it's in studio. David on the ones and twos doing what he do. Dan Matthews, Rolodex to the stars. Appreciate everybody making this program happen. Enjoy your bird tomorrow. We'll be here for you. 2 hours of college football talk, same thing Friday, and then back on Monday, rolling towards championship weekend and playoff seeds. Wraps it up on a Wednesday for the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.